SIN acknowledges and pays respect to the owners of the land on which the SIN HQ and studio stand, the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nations. SIN also acknowledges and pays respect to the elders and traditional owners of the lands our content reaches, as well as the radio stations we broadcast from across the country.
You're listening to Cold Hands Warm Heart on SIN 90.7 FM, and this week I spoke to a very special friend of mine, Levy, someone I met a few years ago, and has a certain magic about him. Works in videography, he's an incredible poet and writer, and is making some really incredible things with Pure Nowhere. But overall, he is just a really great friend. A lot of our friendship is framed around writing and the self and how we can evolve in a world as young and emerging creatives. Also how we have this really special tie to nature and the honesty of what it is to be a human. Lev and I wanted to sit down for a while now on air and chat about the things that we talk about on a drive or every time we catch up. And he was a big inspiration for the show. He kind of gave me an idea to reminisce and read through these old journals, and it would be silly of me not to invite him on the show. I think being able to discuss these things with honesty to an audience is beautiful, and I want you to feel as if you're with us in the room this evening. This week on Cold Hands Warm Heart, we opened our journals and discussed some of those past entries. We both spent time in Europe in 2019 at the same time, yet on different parallels. For both of us, it was a really fortifying time, and we thought we'd share some of that with you. I wanted to showcase an album this week that would become the soundtrack for this discussion with Levy. From the 2021 release, Fleet Foxes' album Shore is an ambient hug. It's playful yet feels so brutally honest, which I feel matches the energy for this show tonight. Most of our artists have some sort of emotional tie to our time traveling and feel as though they complete the journey with us. If you'd like to find the track list over on my Instagram, you may do that at Funky Spaghetti. Or if you would like to peep over at our guest, Levy, you can find him at Evil Eye, spelt IIVEL.I. Now, this first track is Can I Believe You from Fleet Foxes.
Thank you. But if I don't, well, nothing will change. Staying under my weather all day. Maybe I'm wondering too, what type of desire I can break. When I'm one way with them, one with you. What half is it of me?
Welcome back. You are listening to Cold Hands, Warm Heart, and I am here with a very dear friend of mine, Levy.
Hey, thanks for having me.
It's really funny. We have been talking about this for a long time, wanting to bring an audience into our journals. And can I share a little bit of something with you? Because that time that we spent when we were very young and in Europe was very formative for us, wasn't it?
Yeah. Extremely. I feel like we came back and then COVID happened as well. So it's been a long time to reflect on what happened while traveling as like a young person.
Yeah. Especially for us who luckily enough documented the whole thing to be able to go back and process and acknowledge those times that you had.
I'm so glad I documented it all. Even now, like, I haven't read some of this stuff for ages, and going through it with Lily has just been a little bit confronting in positive ways as well. But like, just being like, wow, I forgot that I used to think that way. And these are the things that I was dealing with. And I captured it in excruciating, like 20-year-old detail.
In brutal honesty. Yeah. Like the pieces that I'm gonna read later in the show are like, I was going through a breakup at the time when I was in Europe, and I captured a lot of that. Like, it was this real big split of loving where I was and being in a foreign country, and it feeling so foreign to being like, oh, I'm 19 and going through my first breakup. Like, and it was similar for you. Like,
it was similar for me. Yeah, I had like my first real heartbreak. I was visiting someone that I was seeing in LA before I went to Europe, which LA, compared to where I grew up, was very confronting and so different, and just felt so out of place. Like, I don't know, like I just had like long hair, probably looked a bit like scruffy, and
I was still wearing like a shell necklace in like the streets of Paris.
Me too, though. Yeah, me too. I was still had my puka. Oh my gosh, this is before Visco Girls were a thing.
Before Visco Girls, I mentioned this in the first episode. I don't know if I talked about like 2014 Tumblr phase, and all the memes about it coming back.
It's like, that's our time to shine.
It's literally our time to shine. Like, we've done the hard work. We've put in the hard yards, and now like we were puka shell girls in Europe. And Tumblr 2014 girls before everyone knew about it, and that's the whole theme about Europe trips is
we're really not selling ourselves well.
just two kids.
You're imagining these two people with like puka shells and knee high Converses just like strutting in front of the Eiffel Tower.
I don't know. I had a few.
Avec moi, c'est soir.
Oh, I had some pretty like. Big fashion revelations whilst I was in Europe, like really got into the whole Mamma Mia, like Donna.
You really stuff. Were giving Mamma Mia.
I was. I'm constantly trying to give Donna Sheridan vibes, but like, yeah. Anyway, you don't need to be anything fancy when you're there. You're 19 and figuring it out. No,
for sure.
And like, it was the best time.
Yeah, being young and wide-eyed and naive. Yeah, actually, genuinely. Part of something that I want to share talks about this, but like this idea of being like wide-eyed and naive and a little bit like inexperienced, and you thrust yourself into a situation. Like, I was traveling by myself. I was couch surfing. I had very little money, and just putting myself in that like arena,
almost just on the brink of fear, like,
oh my gosh, yeah.
Just
I was
like
scared so often, but like also became very grateful and aware of the kindness of strangers and how it pays to immerse yourself in the culture. Anyways, to put myself in like such a, I don't know, just to put myself in that situation was, it's a beautiful thing to be that wide-eyed and innocent.
We'll continue our conversation with Levy after these collection of songs. This first one by Hiatus Coyote. They're a band that Levy and I really appreciate, and a band that I've also played on the show for you before. So first up, here is Nakamura by Hiatus Coyote. Then after that, Green Eyes by Arlo Parks. And after that, we'll jump right in where we left off with Levy. Thank you. Having the world at your fingertips, and it's one of those real true moments of independence. And you can have it, you don't have to go to Europe to have this. Like, I love that there's a revival of everyone traveling around Australia,
yeah,
and like bringing back that round Oz trip and appreciating the country you're in. But also, that's negligent, that doesn't matter where, it doesn't matter where you are, but being independent in the world is almost terrifying. And
mm-hmm. And you think that you're like grown, you think that you're like, you know what you're doing. And I definitely did. What you were saying before reminded me that so many people that I met while I was traveling would tell me how naive I looked and how innocent I looked, and then it was like just in my eyes, it annoyed me like nothing else, because I was like, been through
I had to carry my suitcase without wheels,
exactly,
down a cobblestone street.
I didn't know cobblestone streets would break my wheels, like no, there was like, I was just so annoyed by it, because I was like, well look, I'm here alone and I'm, you know, making my own moves and meeting people. And like, and I remember when I went to Paris, I used to spend a lot of my time writing at the Shakespeare and Co. Like every morning I'd go there, which is the best bookstore in the world, in my opinion. It's my favorite. And when I found out about the tumbleweeds, how they let people stay there and live there, like young writers and travelers, I remember, I have it here in my journal, I said, maybe this air about me that causes strangers along my travels to call me naive and innocent will seem to a home of writers a valuable trait worth preserving and celebrating. Maybe my persistent fight against jaded resignation will no longer feel like an embarrassing curse, but give me some leverage over backpackers and red-faced American tourists. Like, I remember just being like, oh, I'm so tired of being seen as like such a kid.
Yeah, but in this case, that innocence gave you something.
Exactly, and I had a feeling that it would. I was like, no, like, I don't have to be this jaded person resigned to, I don't know, like, I feel like there's a lot of pseudo-intellectuals out there that just have this air about them that they're, like, too good to be wide-eyed and, like, a forever student and just, like, learning all the time and open.
They're not, like, in touch with their sensitivity that, like, it's okay to continuously be learning.
Exactly, and I was like, what better place to find people that actually have a soft spot for that, that, like, pocket of human beings that are like curious and not maybe like not pretentious about their like not an ownership over knowledge but an openness to, you know.
yeah it's such an elite system in that, like, the more well-read that you are and the more like intellectual you are means you're higher up in like there's some hierarchy.
Yeah.
Whereas I love when you're traveling and staying in hostels and staying in really like youth-based communities, that there is this like belief that like what you put out you receive.
Yeah.
And it's said everywhere in society, but it's a place where you can really see the reward of that.
Yeah.
Like, and it actually being used, because you'll travel and give someone a microfiber towel and then they'll buy you like a drink later on, or they'll help pay for like a train ticket, or you'll paint something for them and you'll be able to sleep on their couch.
Yeah.
And it's okay to be innocent and wide-eyed.
I don't know. Yeah. Like, obviously it paid off for me in the end.
Mm.
It worked out for me in that sense. And I was living there, you know, sleeping amongst the bookshelves and just reading every day, writing every day, meeting the most amazing people, throwing events the most I've ever written there, because I felt the ghosts of all the writers before me that had been there, or like the legacy.
Truly just, like an atmosphere.
It just inspired me so much.
We will talk more about that inspiring space after this break. This next song is City Music by Kevin Morby. And then from our feature album this week, Sure from Fleet Foxes, we have Thymiel. After that, we will delve right into the poem that Levy will be sharing today.
Thank you. that city music. Oh, that city sound. Oh, that city music. Oh, it's coming right. City music. Oh, that city sound. Oh, how you're pulling my heartstrings. And oh, let's go downtown. City music. Oh, that city sounds. Oh, that city music.
Pair of tin cups rolling in the back seat. Rustle like a mallet on a downbeat. Rain make rust water on the concrete. Have a true love more than just
First books I read there was I was trying to get more into philosophy, and there were some older guys there that just were very well read in that genre. So they recommended me the Symposium by Plato, and I read it. It devoured it, and it really characterized my school of thinking for my time there. I was just thinking so much about love. Like, I know you were saying you were going through a breakup. I was visiting someone that I used to see. It didn't end up going well. And so I was dealing with a lot of heartbreak and self-confidence issues. And reading the Symposium really just furthered my thinking of, like, what is love? And
so the Symposium is essentially, like a manifesto on, like, a philosophy of love.
Basically, yeah, it's like a group of philosophers sit around a table, get very drunk, and they have to praise love, define love, and, like, you know, give their own interpretation of it. There's some funny ones in there. There's some really applicable ones in there.
I guess it's a really soothing thing to read when you are away.
It was soothing, but only because I had all of these uncomfortable thoughts in my head concerning relationships and, like, just how we use each other when it comes to love and romance. Yeah, I was thinking a lot about that, and the only reason I found it comforting was because it just put into words better than I could some of these things.
Yeah.
Because it gave me, like, alternate ways to think about it.
We wrote a lot whilst we were there, but you only, like, stuck to your own four walls, and to find inspiration in other people. And it's so nice when something that you've been trying to express is expressed by someone. It feels like they just instantly understand you.
I did write a poem called The Symposium, based on just what I was thinking about when I was reading it. Just kind of meditating on the games that you play for love. Yeah, what it's like to be a young person breaking hearts, or having your heart broken.
Just having the cycle go round and round.
The way that we hurt each other, maybe it's just taken something special from this whole thing. And that's what I was just thinking about. Yeah. I really felt a responsibility.
This idea on love, and, like, how we love, and that cycle of heartbreak. And
I thought I'd read this one because, like I said, it characterizes a lot of what I was thinking about during that time.
About being wide-eyed and learning about love.
Thank you. sitting around a table with the people that I've loved and who have loved me, people that I've maybe hurt or people who have hurt me, and just reminiscing and getting a bit drunk, having a party and
like celebrating that.
Celebrating
the morning and
celebrating everything, like how we hide from love, how we try to play it cool, how we have feigned intimacy, and also the beautiful parts of it.
Yeah. How great would it be to just sit around the table and just like actually have a symposium
with people that you used today?
It'd be confronting. It'd be very confronting, but it could be cathartic in some way.
Illumination. Don't back down. There is nothing left. The breakers.
I'm Liliana, and you are listening to Cold Hands, Warm Heart on Sin 90.7 FM. And this week is all about vulnerability and traveling and writing about it all. You just heard Should Have Known Better by Sufjan Stevens. And you just heard my dear friend Levy share his poem Symposium. And now I am going to share something with you. We've both been sitting here and flicking through journals and digging up old scars. And like, even though it's 3 years ago, it's like, oh, I have changed so much. Or, oh, wow, so much has happened. But I wanted to share something on a similar vein. Because like we mentioned earlier, we were both over there heartbroken in Europe. It was a very like big divide between loving it and not, and wanting to be somewhere else. I wanted to share this one that I was comparing the exactly what I was feeling in the way that I was so excited to be here and in this foreign state and to be really embracing the vulnerability of being innocent and like being somewhere new for the first time and trying to absorb as much as I could out of that experience whilst going through something that was natural. Like I think any first breakup is beautiful in its own way. Even at the time I could acknowledge that it was like a coming of age and like a nice ending. It doesn't have a title, but it's in a collection called A Moment of Feeling that I wrote about the whole time, which you can find on Medium. The roadside flowers you picked for me, invitation of sweetness, a departing romance. Your brush on my arm, taunting me, next to me in the back seat, cheap wine in the summer solstice, golden veil against your skin. There's no more narrative left for you and I, and instead we drift into paradox, where the sweeping hills are my solace. I look at you, I'm taken back. A collision of fond and emerging memories in the making. It's odd to be sharing these roadside flowers with you. I guess what I was trying to capture the most in this was that I like those, really like those last two lines. I think that's the whole crux of it. I think I was in the Belgian or the French countryside, and I was making all of these new memories with someone who was about to be an old memory. And it's that last line is like, I look back and I see everything that we've shared and know that like, this is, I mean, you're going to be held in these shared memories, but I'm going to go off and make new ones for myself. And it was, yeah, it was just this weird like disjoint between I'm sharing this with you and this really beautiful thing, but I don't know if I want to anymore. And I did a lot of observation about the love I was experiencing in so many different forms of self-love and learning to grow out of myself and heal from a heartbreak. And I guess it's similar into the way like we're just both in these pieces reminiscing and thinking about the what ifs.
Yeah.
It's so easy to get caught on what ifs when you're traveling. And I'm just like, what if I've gone here? Or what if I go there? Or what if I stayed here and met this person?
Yeah, I think traveling is one way to be very aware of the butterfly effect and like manifestation and paying attention to like signs that the universe is giving you. Like,
omens.
Yeah, because I can tell you like so many experiences that I had while traveling, they were influenced by like the weirdest connections that are just like, you know, like for example, I had a exchange student friend when I was in high school from Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And when I went to London, she was like, oh, my room, my apartment is free. Stay there while you're in London. I was like, oh, okay. Got talking to like her roommate, and then she recommended I hang out with her friend in Paris when I was there, And if I didn't meet this person in Paris, I wouldn't have had like a family to stay with, and like I wouldn't have I don't think I would have ended up at like the Shakespeare and Co. And then like so many things wouldn't have happened. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I do think that what I learned from traveling above all is like, if you get up and you try to make the most of the day and you follow your intuition and give every day a chance, every hour a chance, then there will be a little like invisible thread for you to follow that will lead you to things. And I think traveling has taught me
one thing leads to another. Mm. And it's very easy to get caught up when you are living just your life and not traveling, that there are like these timelines and things to follow, but there is a natural way of life and there is a natural way of just moving forward when you are traveling, and
mm-hmm.
that you can bring home with you.
Yeah, for sure.
And bring an element of intuition and spontaneity. I guess that's those are the two things that form travel, and that's what mm-hmm. makes you feel so free. And maybe that is, you know, when we always go like, oh, the holiday mode and the vacation mode, but it's just injecting that innocence into your life every day because you can have it.
Yeah, being a bit, yeah, wide-eyed, like we said.
Being a tourist in your own city.
Be a tourist in your own city, for sure.
Oh my God, I think we're losing at this point.
No, but for sure, definitely be a tourist in your own city. We've done that where we grew up, like.
You have to be. That's the best way to discover things.
If I wasn't a tourist in my own like hometown where I grew up, there would be a bunch of things that I didn't know.
Oh, I bet we wouldn't have met either.
Probably wouldn't have met.
Like we
wouldn't have swum with the bioluminescent algae.
That's actually how we met. We met swimming with bioluminescent algae, and that whole situation was just the catalyst for the show, for yeah. everything. When you, the power of letting yourself be open to opportunity.
Yeah, just like one thing always leads to another.
Yeah, and there's no timeline or no rush on it. Yeah. I think the biggest thing was when we first met, that I was like, if this is the last night that I ever like hang out with these people and have shared this moment with, that's okay.
Yeah.
And just completely surrendered to the idea of the moment. Like that's all it needed to be. And if anything more comes from it, then that's just like a blessing.
Yeah.
I think that's what you need to do when you're traveling, especially when you're documenting it, is just let it be what it needs to be.
Yeah.
Or if you want more, there's always an opportunity to chase.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that I would have, and I'm probably the same for you, I think we would have been as aware of all these connections.
No.
If we weren't journaling.
No, definitely not.
Yeah.
If you're not journaling, you're not living.
That's so true.
Facts. We are nearing the end of our hour on Cold Hands, Warm Heart. And I want to thank you, Lev, for coming on the show and talking equally silly, unnecessary things that probably don't need to be aired, that some will be cut out. I'm sorry, yeah. We've been sitting here for 2 hours chatting, but also for being vulnerable with me and sharing something that is important to you.
Of course, I really like the show and I like what you're doing. And yeah, I think we should bring a bit more vulnerability back to
the radio.
Back to the,
back to the airwaves.
Back to the airwaves, which I'm currently riding. Yeah, I think we should all be a bit more vulnerable. I think it's a very easy part of yourself to lose. And yeah, it's been cool just donating a little bit of time to like past vulnerable maybe and reflecting. It's been good.
It's funny time. If you would like to listen again to Cold Hands, Warm Heart, this episode will be live on the webpage. So if you go and search cn.org.au/coldhandswarmheart with a little dash in between each of those, you can find it there along with all of the other episodes. Or if you follow me on Instagram at funkyspaghetti, all the links will be dropped in my bio alongside the fun other projects that I get up to. But thank you for listening. I have had an absolute pleasure being able to share the show with someone this week. And next week is our final show, our season finale. It's gone fast, but I have a few things up, a few things in store for you that I can't wait to share. I'm going to play one last song. This is Loving You's Like a Moldy Cup of Tea by Jack Davies and the Bush Chooks. I'll see you next week.
Said, my darling, do you really love me? And I explained that I loved you, babe, just like mold loves a grown in an old cup of tea. I love you like a gamble loves being brave, or like an old man in a hospital bed, loves heading outside and having a smile. Said, my darling, you sure you ain't lying? And I explained that I was telling my truth and the whole world combined. You see, it's written in a crux on every tile of my eyes, and every damn leak in my kitchen and my. Love you like a dog loves being scratched on his head, or just like the little mouse in my bedroom seems to love running round my bed. I love you like a lie loves cheating himself, or just like the dusty old loves sitting on my shelf. And she said, my darling, you sure you want me? And I explained that I tried to play, but without you I can't breathe. Cause honestly I'm scared and a little bit tired, but I can forget a word when I lay with you. Loves looking in my teeth, just like mold loves a grown in an old cup of tea. I love you like a gamble loves being brave, like an old man in a hospital bed loves heading outside and having. Like the stars make love to the sky. sunset in a warm sunrise.